You're a podcast listener, and this is a podcast ad. Reach great listeners like yourself with podcast advertising from Lips and Ads. Choose from hundreds of top podcasts offering host endorsements, or run a reproduced ad like this one across thousands of shows to reach your target audience with Lips and Ads. Go to lipsandads.com now. That's LIBSYNads.com.
You're listening to the Best Morning Routine Ever podcast, the show that proves no one stumbles upon success ever. With your host, Lou Need. Every Mondays and Thursdays, we deliver cold hard evidence behind the power of a robust morning routine. Get ready to be transformed by the renewal of your mind.
Hello, morning enthusiasts. Welcome to the Best Morning Routine Ever podcast. I am your host, Dr. Lou Need, and today I have the honor of introducing a very special guest to the show, Jake Rosenberg. Now, he decided to disrupt the market that is specifically designed for women. So he has come up with Crete, a skincare company that focuses on helping men with their skincare issues. I mean, the world makes it seem like men don't have skin at all and they don't care for it the way the women should. But in reality, they experience the same issues. And so he founded Crete to provide simple, quick, and effective solutions for men's unique skincare. And that, you know, it doesn't have to be a cabinet full of 20, 30 pieces of creams and serums to actually get the hydration men need. And so he is going to come and tell us all about Crete and the success. So with no further ado, Jake, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me.
No, of course. It is my pleasure. Now, I know Crete was born after a ski trip that you took. So tell us about that.
Yeah, so in 2017, I've skied my whole life since I was three. And so I was heading down the mountain. My ski hit some ice and came and hit me in the face, which is not super pleasant. I was wearing goggles and a helmet, as I always do. And it's kind of a very bizarre ski accident. And actually, so what it did is it basically cut open my nose, which was pretty rough. I had to call ski patrol, had to get stitches, had to stay out of the sun for a year and a half and wear this like cover on my nose and get microneedle. Basically, I went from being a guy who could just, you know, when I shower, use a bar of soap on my face to wash my face and pick up whatever moisturizer at CVS to, oh, wait, I have something. You can't really hide a scar on your nose. There's no piece of clothing that you can wear on your nose that is kind of acceptable. So I had to focus on ingredients of skincare and things to reduce the scar and stop the dry skin and other things like that. And so that brought me to understand the landscape of skincare and realize that it was literally not for men. I mean, everything from the way Sephora is built and designed and the way they try to sell you on things, it's like you're there to have fun. You're there to shop around. You're there because you already know what a toner is. I had no idea. I had no idea what a serum is, a toner is. I knew I needed concealer, but like, was it supposed to be sheer or matte or longwear or this or like which company? Oh, MAC is for MAC and NARS were really good concealers. But the problem was one being NARS, which I ended up going with, all the tones were like dessert names, like creme brulee and custard and things. And I was like, that's clearly not for me. And then the other one, MAC, their entire sales pitch was it's designed by like a professional makeup artist. I'm like, okay, well, that's also not for me. Like the sales pitches of the what's called the beauty industry are all for women. I mean, it's even called the beauty industry. So I started Crete because I thought there are a couple products here that would be fantastic if guys could use, but they're never going to discover them if their intro to this world is a ski accident and then going to Sephora. There has to be a different way.
And then you bridge that gap because there is that's a big difference in traveling into taking care of your skin. So now you started with just the hydrating facial serum.
Mm-hmm. So I started with this one here. And this is pretty close to the miracle products that I was using. Hyaluronic acid in a specific molecular weight and a specific concentration without all the other crap ingredients that normally are the filler ingredients that large companies use really helped my nose scar reduced. And then there was another product that had green tea extract, apple stem cell extract, and that helped it. And then I also noticed, oh, the regular skin on my face is getting better when I used it. So I actually learned chemistry and I formulated this. It's our hydrating facial serum because I wanted to combine the best ingredients possible for just one hero product that would basically help with wrinkles and fine lines, redness and skin tone, and of course, dry skin and hydration. So for instance, this is so powerful. A lot of Accutane users will, this is their go-to because it like, it actually can help their severe dry skin. And obviously that's an internal issue causing the dry skin because you take medicine for it. So, but obviously if you just have more casual dry skin or eczema, obviously it'll help you if it can help someone with Accutane.
Yeah. Do you manufacture and do this locally? Because how did you get into that? Because
you do it all in Southern California. Yeah. So after I formulated it, I gave it to an FDA approved lab to do all the full testing. So we're like globally compliant. I tested it in order for us to grow and be able to sell in Europe and Japan and all these places where the regulations are significantly higher than here. Cause I just, I wanted to be ready for that. And I wanted to make sure the product was the best it could be. And we work with basically a small co-packing partner who they can do thousands of units in a week for us. I can message him and we can get it. So, cause we sell out actually a lot. So we need to get stuff back in stock. Whereas these larger companies, they don't really care about you until you're like L'Oreal size. Mm-hmm. So the quality is not as good. And they basically don't want to make a good formula. They want to make a cheap formula. And so, yeah, we manufacture it at a place that actually cares.
And can you actually just text and get the results you need? They have
to respond. Yeah, basically. It took a while to set up that system. But now that we're there, it's pretty good.
How long did it take you to launch, you know, from idea to an inception, you know, because having to go through that process could be lengthy in FDA lab.
Yeah, it can be. In 2019, I started it. And then once we started, I started formulating in late 2019. The issue was with the lockdowns of early 2020, you know, bottles like this and these pumps and all these products, they were basically going to hand sanitizer globally. So they were sold out for a year plus globally. So we essentially, you know, had to just put a pause on the manufacturing for a full year and a half until kind of like May of 2021. That's when things started coming back in stock. That's when California reopened in June of 2021. So I kind of consider the first 2 years, you know, the branding, the product development, things like that. But we really started marketing and getting out there in 2021. So it's been just under 2 years of like selling, but we've grown very fast.
Yeah. And so it was a lot of in-house for you doing the marketing piece, raising money. Did you do any of that?
No, I'm fully self-funded. I have from day one.
Good for you. Yeah. It's
not easy at the beginning because, you know, you're putting your money into, well, you're betting on yourself. And like I've had other successful ventures that I've founded. So I knew that I'm not the worst person to bet on, but it's still like skincare company for guys. Hasn't really been done. It's going to be 2 years before we sell anything. You know, there is still a lot of risk inherently in starting a company, but at least when I bet on myself, I know that I can always do more work. So
yeah. Bet on yourself, hold yourself accountable. It takes a lot of discipline to do that. And that's what we'll talk about, your morning routine and how that helps you stay disciplined. Now for getting it starting and embedding in yourself, the whole piece of it, did you do market research? Did you get the buzz out? How was that first 2 years where you were just kind of waiting for the world to reopen?
Funny because I have to like trying to remember the day to day. It's where like a lot of our packaging. So for instance, everything's really intentional with Creed. So, you know, it took us a lot of packaging iterations for me to come up with the idea of like the through line that we have where everything kind of lines up between our boxes and lines and our individual products. And the reason for that is obviously like when you buy them as a set, eventually it looks nice, but it's also kind of like we're cutting through the BS and it's a continuation of our product line and things like that. So there were things that, you know, you got to develop with a little extra time. I got to really, when we opened, we had our supply chain dialed in. I had our formulators set up. I had our future products already in motion and the chemistry going for them. It really let me set up the supply chain and the business operations so that as soon as we could start selling again and get product and inventory, we were ready to go. And that's one of the reasons we were able to grow so fast. It's because it was honestly like, okay, our ads are working, double the budget next month. Mm-hmm. And then we're twice as big. So, you know, if you're growing in 50 different ways at once, it's hard to grow sometimes. If you're trying to develop new products as you scale, it can get a little harder. Now, we're obviously now doing that again because we have three products and we're expanding to 5 or 6 at the end of the year. But I know the people to go to for the labels, the boxes, the bottles, it's you know, it's a couple of emails and some design work to get the packaging now versus 6 months of me trying a million things and trying to call and who can I trust and whatever. Now, when I email these suppliers, they answer because they, I bought a lot from them. They know I'm a legitimate customer.
Yeah. And so then you just you cushion yourself with great contractors and team members that can help you execute.
Yeah. It's 100% about people. I will literally just not do something if I don't find the right people. We started Amazon in January. Actually, I found them in January. We started in February. And already we're breaking even, if not profitable, in like 2 months. We got 93, 94 reviews at like 4.5 stars in a few months because our products are really effective and they really work. So yeah, we just had customers rating us like crazy. Some of the other, you know, people I've talked to in their first year, they didn't get 93 reviews. We got it in our first 6-7 weeks. So, mm-hmm. You know, it's that kind of stuff. But we found an incredible Amazon team. I talked to 15 Amazon teams over the course of the last 2 years, and I never liked one. I found one I liked. We started it the next day. Same thing with our Google ads, our Facebook and Amazon ads. I still have not found the right person for us for, let's say, influencer marketing. Every agency is a little too loose. They refuse to kind of give you what they're actually going to deliver. They want you to sign an annual contract before you work with them. There's always some kind of red flag or thing that doesn't work for me. So we're not going to focus on influencer marketing until I find the right teammate. And what that has basically allowed us to do is every individual vertical that we have becomes pretty self-sufficient or very efficient right off the bat. And we kind of, we don't dilute the team with something that's not going well.
Mm-hmm. And so you, especially with the Amazon one, that's really key. And a lot of people want to hear that you actually hire somebody who specializes an expert in what they're doing.
You have to yeah.
You don't try to do it away all these hats as an entrepreneur and startup. You like know already that that's not your forte. So you're not even going to dab in.
There's so much art and science to any individual part of a company, whether it's the accounting. I hired great accountants. You know, if I spent all my time, I'm sure I could do the accounting for our company because it's not super complicated. But do I want to do that? No. So you have to hire, like, you know, it's a balance between obviously budgeting and getting your time back. I have someone doing our ads and editing our ads for, and then we're going to have that same person now finding the talent for us, contracting them under us, giving them instructions to film at home. And basically I got a lot of time back, but I had to make sure that that person was good. So I worked with them for a full year and they edited our ads. And once they started, I could tell that they understood how to give creators directions. I'm like, okay, you're just getting, we're going to pay you more, you're going to handle more. So you always want people who are experts in things. And yeah, when these people who were recommended to me by another company that really loved working with them, the Amazon group, they came to me, they showed me the case studies and the numbers were crazy. And I was like, okay. And they were like, okay, it's a 6-month minimum contract. And I said, no, you need, I'm going to do a 3-month maximum commitment. And I want an intro price. And by the way, if these are the numbers and you can get there within 3 months, we'll resign for a full year and not 6 months. And they said, okay, that kind of works. And they did. In 2 months, they proved it. And I was like, well, let's do the full year comp. So, but they proved it to me. And so it's constantly trying to hedge your commitments, your budget, your things, because, you know, it still is a startup. And every dollar spent on Amazon could have been spent on product development, email marketing. There's always a lot to do.
Yeah, I love your model of hiring the experts to do what they do best, and you don't have to go and learn it. You free yourself up. So what is it that you do? You know, I know you're doing 30,000 foot high level thinking.
It's a combination of high, medium, and definitely in the weeds. I mean, I started this company as like fully in the weeds on everything. I was the literal person with the hairnet and the mask and whatever in like formulating it. I learned Adobe Premiere Pro and made our first ads. I had people come to my apartment and film them for the UGC content, the testimonials. So I bought the lights and the microphones and learned about that stuff. So the thing about it is, now that I had done all that, that's why I can hire effectively for those people, because I've done 10 video shoots and directed it. So now I can talk to somebody, and if they direct a shoot and I'm kind of watching casually on Zoom while doing meetings, okay, I get, they know what they're doing. I can, because I've done it. Oh, wow, they did something. That's a really smart thing to do. Okay, great. I'll trust them. So once you've been in the weeds enough in enough different areas, you start being competent at hiring people and being able to see who is an actual expert or who is actually effective. But even beyond that, I just kind of believe in both thoroughness and communication. And I kind of say, my team all has a phrase. It's like accountability for everything all the time. It's very stressful, but it is the only way that you actually get anything done. So anyone who wants to do anything at Crete needs to provide a reason. And that reason can be crazy. It can be great. It can be terrible, but they need to have a reason. And so, you know, oh, we want to try this landing page because I saw it with this company and it looks cool. Okay, do it. But like, because everyone needs to have a reason for things, you know, an expert still needs to tell me what they're doing. I don't just trust people blindly and say, okay, well, you're the expert, goodbye. The Amazon people need to give me usually 1 to 2 reports a week, one on what they think they're doing for the next week and one on what's going right now and the reason why both are happening.
How big is that Amazon team?
It's like 2 guys specifically on my account, but like they have, I don't know, they're a pretty large company. So they probably have they have a lot of infrastructure they've built that automates things now. So they're kind of like 2 guys that act like 10. I'll send them an email. Hey, what about this? They'll get back to me in 30 minutes with very dense answers and then go make some decisions based off of that. So it's pretty good.
Yeah. And so it sounds like you didn't start off with the Amazon route, because usually a lot of product companies, they just go straight to Amazon. And Amazon has its pros and cons. It has its fees, its costs. And if you don't have the expert to know what you're doing, you're just throwing money away, essentially.
Yeah. Amazon is a sales game. It's purely like a revenue, because you don't get information. You don't get the customer data. Mm-mm. You don't get the ability to reconnect with them through an email flow. You're not the brand that matters. The brand that matters is Amazon. People are shopping on Amazon and they're going to go off reviews, price, questions and answers, how, you know, your description, your images. And so we launched that second because we are more of a brand. We're like, the brand story is important with my ski accident and the 30-second skincare, so guys will actually use it. You know, it's on all our packaging. Our products take only 30 seconds to use. That's important. But the reason we went later to Amazon was we wanted to establish our own brand, understand our customers more. And then what we actually started seeing is people searching for us on Amazon before we were there. And then we said, okay, let's get serious. So when we launched on Amazon for a full month before we started running ads, we were getting a lot of sales because people would see our Facebook and Instagram ads and they wouldn't go to our website from it. They just are, some people like to buy on Amazon more. They know Amazon Prime, free delivery, fast delivery. They know there's no question asked returns. And they know that the reviews can be trusted because you can't fake Amazon reviews. Well, you probably can, but like it's way harder than just a company's website. So we got like a 10 to 15% revenue boost just by having a listing for our product on Amazon before we even had reviews or anything, because people liked our ads and went to Amazon. So we kind of viewed Amazon as like a little bit of a cleaning up net to like capture more people. Same with emails and SMS, same with Google. You know, people will watch your ads, your social ads, and then go Google you. And if you're not there, they won't buy. If you happen to be there with a SEO or SEM, they'll buy your stuff.
Yeah. And so you started with the website at first, building that brand, your social media, engaging. And then about a year and a half later, you went on to Amazon.
I wouldn't say we built so much. We did some good stuff on Instagram, but that just was not converting. I am not a huge believer in social, like organic social or influencers, until you can go all in and have someone like live and breathe it 24/7. I don't think it's a thing that really works well casually, you know, like, oh yeah, we'll get some content. We'll post it every couple of days. And like, I'll contact 2 influencers next week. Some people can do that. But most successful companies I've seen they have like a dedicated one or two person team. They're posting every day or every 2 days. They're trying to stay up on TikTok trends. They're trying to contract 30 influencers a month to post every day and tag them. And they're figuring out the trending hashtags. It's like a very serious amount of work and coordination with people outside of your company. That's another thing. Amazon's easy because it's a pretty straightforward platform. I mean, easy. I'm saying to work with them. Working with influencers can be hard because just the communication. If you're talking to 30 people, that's a lot of people outside of your company to communicate with. And you know, if they're big influencers, they're getting DM'd by 1,000 people. They're getting approached by 50 brands. So just sometimes the logistics of influencers can be hard. That's one of the other reasons where I haven't found the exact right person for us yet to do that. When I do, I'll hire them and they'll wait. I'm not wasting my time with that. Someone else will do that for me.
Yeah, no, I like your approach to it. It's in due time, right? You don't have to do everything all at once. You just kind of one at a time and then see it profit and then move on to
it. Yeah, you need to build infrastructure that's solid. Like, we needed a website that worked. We needed a Facebook system, like getting content, making ads, running them, that worked. Okay, great. Then we moved into Amazon. Well, we had emails and SMS. I had hired people for that. Okay, that's great. Well, I wanted email and SMS before we go to Google, because if Google pushes people to our website and we capture them, we get their email. If we don't have good emails, Google's funnel is not as efficient. So you want to kind of go one by one or two things at a time and really crush them. You know, make two really good products, then make a third, then make a fourth. Don't get 15 at once. Build things brick by brick and make sure that like you just never move backwards and that you're always doing the right thing. And you know, we're expanding, like I said, to Amazon and Google, email and SMS and a couple of other platforms. I don't need to add Snapchat and TikTok and all these other things on top of it. We'll get there in maybe 2 months, maybe a year. Not sure, but we'll be there. It's just a matter of like once Amazon is running itself, then I'll have time to dedicate to restarting the new channels.
Influencing. And what's after influencing? Are you thinking bigger brand, or you how do you keep scaling?
There's brand partnerships. You know, there's working with, you know, let's say a razor company that doesn't have a skincare line, because our stuff can work for like facial cleansers and hydrating stuff. There's that kind of stuff. There's working, maybe trying to go retail, show fields, or get into a higher end retail store. There's publicity stunts. There's referral programs. There's contests and competitions. And then there's also just, hey, if Google's working, give it 10 times the budget over the next 12 months. Like, just try to grow it. If you're getting $1 million in sales on Amazon, I know someone who's doing $60 million a year for like inexpensive jewelry on Amazon. So if we got to $1 million in a year, well, let's get to $10 million. Like, this could do $100 million on Amazon. Like, so it's not necessarily that you constantly need to do new things. You need to do enough at scale where it's worth it. So, yeah.
Oh, good. And then for Creed, now, you said 30 seconds. It takes 30 seconds to use to have a skincare regimen. I said 30 minutes. It's 30 seconds, right?
It's 30 seconds, yeah. It's called 30 seconds skincare. Because it depends on what it is. If you have dry skin, it's pretty much immediately. If, you know, for a concealer, this right here that we're launching in probably about a month, like, you know, if you have a pimple or something, you just dab it on and that's pretty much immediate. So for dry skin and irritation, it's 30 seconds. You actually get some results. For other things like fine lines and wrinkles, it actually can take 2 to 6 weeks to start seeing it, but that's because it's like a structural part. It's a significantly more intense thing.
And you customize it, tailor it, knowing that what is it that they may need. What do you, so the educational aspect of it, because you did say the gap, the bridge was so big, right? There's no education. You walk into Sephora or anywhere else, it's like you should already know what a serum is. So how do you do the education piece of it?
Well, we basically like to kind of contextualize it as, hey, you're already like getting a haircut, you're already washing your face, you're getting nicely dressed. Why not take care of the skin on your face? And so we kind of phrase it as just another part of your daily routine. And then we say it's hyaluronic acid. It's the most powerful hydrating ingredient. So try it. We don't really like to overcomplicate it. You have to just tell guys, hey, it's okay. It's not for women. It's like, it's, you have skin. It's just, it's only been marketed to women. And then here's the thing you should use and why, but really keep that short. Hyaluronic acid for dry skin, apple stem cell extract for signs of aging. Here you go. We're building something on our website where you come and you click your skin issue and we recommend you products.
Yeah. Okay. That makes it a lot easier for people to not be intimidated by this whole like beauty aspect of it. So let's talk about your morning routine. How do you get up, dress up, and show up?
Well, to be honest, I don't really have a morning routine. I'm more of a late night kind of person. Like last night, I probably worked till midnight. I just, once I get going for the day, I don't need to stop. So for me, I kind of wake up at 8:30, usually on most days, kind of sit up, check some emails for half an hour, and then sit down on a computer at 9 and start working. I work from home. I've worked from home forever, so I don't always need to get dressed up. I found that, you know, wearing clothes helps you focus. So you can't be just sweatpants, no shirt. That feels a little lazier to me. And I don't eat breakfast. I never have since I was a kid. People now call it intermittent fasting. Yeah. I just call it like I wasn't hungry until noon. So I do that. I kind of eat a lighter lunch because if I eat a heavy lunch, then the second half of my day is shot. And so it's kind of just, first of all, I always get sleep. So I always have a minimum of 8 hours. That's the goal. Like, I don't need a lot of caffeine. I don't need to have a morning ritual where I like ground the beans and do all that thing. My girlfriend does because she loves coffee and like the smell and taste. I just never really needed caffeine. I have a lot of energy because I eat well and I get sleep. So if I go to sleep, if I work until midnight, I try to sleep right after that. I'll say, okay, well, I'll get up at 8:30. Other people, you know, like this morning, I did wake up at 7 to use the gym because I just have a crazy long day. That was rough for me. It's like my internal clock is not trained to do that, but I can be very sharp at 11 p.m. and it's no problem.
Yeah.
So it's really about efficiency. I've tried to cut out all time wasters in the morning.
Yeah.
I mean, eating breakfast was never something I tried to cut out. I just didn't do it. Having to get dressed up fancy. I've always worked remote since I graduated from college in 2012. So I've been remote for 11 years, even in college. I never went to the library. So that cuts out commutes. That cuts out a lot of the stuff. So again,
a lot of stressors. Yeah.
Yeah. If I wake up at 8:30, I'm doing emails at 8:35. And by 9, I'm like fully engaged in work. Well, if you're talking about a 9 to 5, well, I'm doing that. It's really like a 9 to 9, 10, 11 PM sometimes, but whatever. But I also got 8 hours of sleep, which means I don't really need as many breaks. I don't really need as many things. The food is a big part of it too. Eating healthy. And then also not overeating when you have a lunch, because, you know, I get very hungry by noon. And so if I eat this like big meal at 1, I'm like falling asleep. So yeah. So there's just, I mean, I've been doing it forever, over 10 years of like the same pattern. So I kind of have it down. The balance is you definitely have to make breaks to work out. And you also have to make sure you leave your apartment to go see other human beings. Okay.
Yeah.
So those are the things that like you need to make an active effort for, because everything else is kind of, it's almost too easy. I can just work all the time here. It's set up for that.
Yeah, it's convenient. And for workouts, you leave for that, or you do that at home as well?
I last year was working so much that I couldn't even, like, the gym is 4 blocks from me and I just wasn't even going. So I sold my couch in my office, which is my second bedroom, and I put a bike and some weights, bought them on Black Friday.
Yeah.
And so it's enough to do 80% of what I want, which is, so I actually use it now. Why? Just the effort of getting dressed, driving to the gym, parking, walking up, checking in, that like 15 to 20 minutes. And then the same thing is when I'm exhausted, driving home, shower. That was just, it was enough of a friction and a waste of time and energy in my mind that I thought, okay, well, I'm just going to put it in my apartment. Then I have no excuse. Now I use it all the time. So again, it was just building a system for me that is, it's funny because I'll do a crazy amount of work, but I also like to optimize so I don't have to do extra work. You know, I'll work out really hard for an hour and a half, but I didn't want to like drive to the gym 5 minutes. So it's an interest. So you just have to know yourself and your patterns. And if you can build kind of the little world that works for you.
Yeah, be that maximizer. And I like that you want to reduce friction so that you can do it. It is important. I just canceled my gym membership because I was like, I can just go for a run. And that's the 20-minute run versus 2 hours.
Huh? If you can also actually have the discipline to go for a run, then that's amazing. A lot of people don't have the discipline. I am thankful that I have discipline. But I just need the situation to work. So I'm like, okay, let me just build and engineer that situation to work for me.
And then that's logical. That's the way you're thinking ahead so that you remove all barriers so that you can actually succeed and get it done. Because you know, you can't leave it up to yourself to be like, oh yeah, I'll have the willpower to do it. Because the minute you start making decisions, that willpower just decreases and then you don't do anything. You know, and so it's imperative in minimizing those decisions, especially early on in the day.
Yeah. I mean, there's always the momentum of the day. It's always so hard to start anything. Mm-hmm. So that's why I like the 5-minute rule. I think it was like the founder of Instagram. And I don't know. I learned it back in like college or something, but it just starts something saying you'll do it for like 3 minutes or 5 minutes. And then all of a sudden it's an hour later and you did the thing. It's always the friction of starting something. So sometimes I just like pretend I'm not doing it and I sit down and I just start doing emails and then you're just working on it. So for me, that's what I do is I get up and I just no excuses. I just look at my emails. I start clearing out. I unsubscribe to some things. It's some social emails, some personal emails, some work emails. Then I check Slack. And by that time, I'm just in the work mode. I kind of been like, okay, let me get up and get to my computer. And so that's the morning routine. It's the act of starting. And sometimes if you do too many things, you can procrastinate yourself into making it harder.
Yeah.
Like, okay, I get up and I make my morning coffee and it takes me 15 minutes and then I stretch and I do a thing. It's like, okay, all of a sudden a half an hour has passed. Mm-hmm. It's like, you know, for me, I would feel stressed that I was wasting a half an hour. So I just like, nah, get up and start it. Because what great thing am I going to do? I'm half asleep and not thrilled that I have to work all day sometimes. So might as well just start it. And then I get excited because I'm getting stuff done.
Yeah, checking off things off the list because you kind of motivate yourself to get more done when you accomplish some stuff. This has been amazing. Jake, please tell us, how can we connect with you? Where can we find you?
Well, you can go and check out our stuff at Crete, Crete.club, C-L-U-B, so Crete.club, and email me at Jake@Crete.club. I mentor a lot of people. I answer a million questions. I'm kind of an open book. Unless it's like some incredibly secret part of our company, I usually tell people what we're doing and why, because, you know, it just helps someone else and it doesn't harm us. You know, unless you're like, hi, I'm also running a skincare company for men. What ads are you planning on running? I'm like, I'm not going to tell you that. Like, you know, people have to help each other and I've been helped. So I usually try to pay it back or forward.
I can definitely respect that. Thank you so much for sharing and coming on the show today.
Of course. Thank you for having me.
Yes.
All right, morning enthusiasts. That's it for today's show. Thank you for tuning in. If you love the Best Morning Routine Ever podcast, we'd love to hear from you. So go ahead and subscribe, rate, and give a review on iTunes or Google Play. While you're at it, tell a friend about the show. Be sure to visit bestmorningroutineever.com and our Facebook group to join the conversation, access the show notes, and discover our fantastic free bonus content. Until next time.